Don't be like to have like an animal has to have a bit put in your mouth. I'm ready. I'm willing and obedient. I want to follow the word. Glory to God.
Build your faith today on the Believer's Voice of Victory as Kenneth and Gloria Copeland share a message on how to apply God's Word to live in divine health. Now let's join them from their prayer cabin in Southwest Arkansas. Here are Kenneth and Gloria.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, Friday's edition. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today for your Word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our healer. We open our eyes, we open our ears,
yes.
We open our hearts to hear from heaven and receive revelation, praise God, of the Word, revelation of life by faith in this earth, receiving divine health.
Thank you, Lord. We take it.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
Gloria, I was thinking there when we were praying, you know, there's a difference between living in divine health, which is God's, that's God's plan.
That's the best.
He didn't plan for you to just get sick and get healed and get healed. He intended for you to walk in His ways, walk in His statutes, walk in His commandments, walk in by faith, walk in the law of love,
yes.
And don't get sick in the first place.
That's right. That's exactly
Amen.
Right.
Most people don't believe that you can do that. Now, I will say this. There's a difference between being healed and being well. You and I are well.
We stay well.
We don't have any sickness or disease in our bodies. And any kind of a symptom comes along, we just attack the thing.
That's right.
Right now, there's been times.
We use the name on it.
There's been times that I fooled around and didn't take care of business and got sick. But that's my fault. But being well, when a person decides to be well.
Or healthy.
Yeah.
That's another word.
To be well, that covers all of wellness, which you're going to have to take your diet into consideration.
Yeah.
You're going to have to take exercise into consideration. And you do this by making a decision. The decision is yours, but you make that decision, and then you get, like you said, you got to pay attention. You have to pay attention to the Word. You have to pay attention to everything God said in here about everything.
Obedience
to it.
Yeah.
Now, when you do that and you begin to renew your mind to it, you're not looking at what it takes away from you, or you're looking what it adds to you.
Somebody might think, well, that's too hard. No, it's easy. It's easy to stay well.
What
it's
you're dealing
with on the Word of God.
You're crucifying the flesh.
Yeah.
It's the flesh that screams and hollers and wants, you know, just to eat anything that it can think about.
Donuts.
But you have to put the thing down. That is if you want to be well and live long on the earth. Now, you get to that place where you read the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Your body can be trained and exercised to know the difference between good and evil. It's not always going to be the doggy thing unless you just let it be. But right now, I mean, there was a time when, man, I couldn't do without cigarettes. I didn't want them. I hated them. I throwed them out the window and then stopped, go back and dig around the weeds and get them and feel like a fool. I was a fool. But now, my body's repelled by that. Just the smell of it, it just turns me off. Because why? I've been delivered from it.
Yeah.
My mind has been renewed. You can do that way with food. And I don't take the time to go into that, but it's
the wrong food.
The wrong kind of food.
You don't have to do without food.
No, but the wrong kind of stuff. Yeah. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I mean, I weighed 245 pounds at this time. I just don't understand that. I mean, I know you delivered me from smoking, you delivered me from drinking, but how are you going to deliver me from food?
You big baby.
I want food. And I heard the Lord say, Kenneth, Thank God he doesn't get disgusted with us.
He's extraordinarily patient, the Bible says.
Oh, he is. He said, I didn't deliver you from breathing. I delivered you from breathing smoke. I didn't deliver you from eating.
Uh-huh.
I delivered you from eating. I didn't deliver you from drinking. I delivered you from drinking alcohol. Now, I'm not going to deliver you from eating. I'm going to deliver you from eating sugar. Hallelujah! Amen! And but that's the process. See, that's what I wanted to get across to you, to be well. Okay. Today, Gloria, now yesterday we talked about the Syrophoenician woman, the fact that she was not a Jew. But now, remember now, let me remind you a couple of things here. She worshiped him. She knew who he was. She called him Son of David or called him Messiah. Mm-hmm. She had no pride. She humbled herself. She couldn't be offended. She was not touchy. He called her and called her daughter dogs. Touchy people get mad. Touchy people are unteachable. Touchy people, if you're unteachable, you're uncorrectable. So no correction, no direction, no protection, no perfection. Psalm 32:9, don't be like a horse. Let's do it from the Amplified. Be not like the horse or the mule, which lack understanding, which must have their mouths held firm with a bit and bridle, or else they won't obey. Don't be like an animal has to have a bit to put in your mouth. I'm ready. I'm willing and obedient. I want to follow the word. Glory to God.
Too.
Now, he said, lady, for that saying, your daughter's healed. Now, I want to know the difference between that and the centurion's servant. That centurion was Roman. He wasn't a Jew. Why didn't Jesus call him a dog? That's interesting, isn't it? Now, here's a Roman and a Syrophoenician woman. All right, let's find out. Let's go to Matthew 8:5 and Luke 7:1. All right, Matthew 8:5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, which was his hometown, by the way, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now, I want you to listen to Jesus. I will. Say, I will. What did he tell the leper, Gloria? He said, I know you can if you will. He said, I will.
I will.
One translation said, of course I will. I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. I'm not a Jew. I know I'm not a Jew. I'm not worthy that you come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers mm-hmm. under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, and so forth and so on. Now then, let's go over to the book of Luke 7:1. Luke chapter 7, first verse. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, or he went home. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. Now, remember, Luke is a physician. He didn't say he's sick. He said he's ready to die.
That was his diagnosis.
Yeah, this man's on his deathbed. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy. Now, the the centurion said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. I'm a Jew. So he knew something, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He knew something about the word. Well, so did she. She called him Messiah, the Syrophoenician woman.
Mm-hmm.
They said, he is worthy for whom he should do this. He loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. And when Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said to the people that followed, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now then, what, Gloria, what is the difference? Neither one of them Jews. Syrophoenician woman, not a Jew. Jesus called her a dog. He's got to get faith out of her. He's got to have a legal reason. Now, after he goes to the cross, raised from the dead.
Something to work with.
Yeah. But after the cross, I mean, that's wiped out. But now, they didn't know it for 10 years after the day of Pentecost before they found out a Gentile could even be saved, because they were still under this mindset. Now, let me show you the difference. They said it. He is worthy for whom he should do this. He loveth our nation. Aha! Okay. Remember what God said to Abraham? He said, I'm going to make you a blessing. The whole earth will be blessed by you.
Yeah.
And he said, they that bless you, I will bless. Glory to God. There was the reason why he could step right in legally and minister to this centurion's servant.
Praise God.
Which ministered to the centurion greatly.
Yeah.
But now, wait a minute. The centurion's servant was probably a Roman. I don't know that. But I don't know that he wasn't. I would expect, though, that the centurion's servant was a soldier of low rank. He wasn't hiring people outside his house to come in. He's a centurion. He's an officer. So he blessed Israel, built a synagogue. Well, now the man built a synagogue. Don't you expect he probably spent some time in that synagogue?
I would think.
You want me to give you a little side thing here that'll thrill you?
Do it.
You remember Jairus, ruler of the synagogue?
Yeah.
Where?
In Capernaum.
This was in Capernaum?
Well, it was.
That was the synagogue where Jairus was ruler. Or one of the rulers?
Yeah. Huh. How about that?
This is also Jesus' hometown.
Yes.
That synagogue that he built.
That Jairus built?
No, that centurion built.
Oh.
Where Jairus is ruler of the synagogue.
Is centurion.
It was just around the corner from Jesus' house.
Well, how about that?
Now we're catching up with something here. Glory to God. This blessed Jesus because it was his hometown synagogue. He taught in that synagogue. He knew Jairus personally.
That's awesome.
I got goosebump running up and down my arm. Glory to God.
Praise God.
That'll thrill anybody who's got any sense. Mm-hmm. Can you see the difference, though? Now, Jesus was just as willing where that Syrophoenician woman's daughter was concerned. He just as willing to heal her, but he had to have a legal pathway to do it. Here, the path was wide open because this man had chosen to bless the seed of Abraham, and he blessed Jesus by the synagogue that right there in Jesus' hometown.
We want to keep the path wide open.
Yes, we do. And that's one of the things that I wanted to bring up here, that
faith keeps the path wide open.
Why then did Jesus, let's look at it again. Why did he say, I have not found so great faith? No, not in Israel. The great faith. It's the greatest faith there is today. Faith in the Word of God with no other evidence needed. I need no proof. You said it, I believe it. Whatever you say, I know will come to pass. Glory to God.
Say it in a word.
Say it in a word. Now, I want to go. I want to go into that a little bit.
Think about how our lives change when we begin to say.
You know, you talked about that right after our first broadcast today, between tapings. The time that you and I were in one of Brother Hagin's meetings, this was back in right about 1968 or 68, I think. Or might have been the tail end of 67, rather the very first year we began.
Probably so.
We were in his meeting, and he said, now all, and of course he preached on the authority of the Word of God. Everyone that would pray this prayer with me, stand to your feet. Of course we'd leap to our feet. He prayed the prayer and led us in the prayer. And what we prayed was this, whatever we see in your word. We put your word first place in our lives. Now, that's what that centurion did. He said, I recognize authority when I see it.
Yep,
I'm a man.
That's
right. I see that. Whatever, we put your word first place in our life. Your word is final authority. And when we see it, and we see what it's saying to us, we'll do it. We will act on that word. And later we came to this, that, and I'll just lead you in it. I put your word.
You want me to say that?
Yeah.
I put your word.
First place.
Final authority.
In my life.
I will not.
Attempt to change. Your word. To fit my lifestyle. I will.
Change my lifestyle.
To fit your word.
That is a formula for victory.
Now, yeah, it is.
It is.
Now, and you know, that's what religious people try to do.
Faith is the victory.
Well, now, you see, God really didn't mean it when he said that. What he really meant was, no, he meant...
A lot of people didn't think he meant to stay out of debt.
Well, now, and let me show you something about that. Romans chapter 13. The day we found that, which was sometime after we were in a meeting in Fort Worth. We were staying in my mother and dad's home there. And I read down here, Romans 13, 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law.
And we had decided
and I saw that
we'd do
and
what
I thought,
we saw.
And I thought, what? And I thought, well,
surely
see,
that
here,
doesn't
I'm
mean
to change
that.
It. I thought, well, here, I'll get the Amplified. And it said, stay out of debt. I called Gloria in there and I said, look at this. Because, I mean, there went my airplane right
my out. My house, your airplane.
I can't borrow the money to get it.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and her feathers fell. I'm standing here with my Bible like this, standing in the middle of the bedroom floor. She said, if that's what the book says, that's what we're going to do.
What year would that have been?
1960, right first part of 1968. Now, you can't build a doctrine on one scripture. And when you begin to study this, that's not referring to money. But go over to the curse of the law and you'll find out that debt is part of the curse. You become servant of the lender, attached to him by covenant, and you'll be the tail and not the head. The scripture says you'll, and he said this, you'll lend to many and borrow from none. Well, that's finished it, praise God. And we are out of time.
Wow. I thought you were going to say out of debt.
We are. That woman. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we are out of debt. Glory to God.
Many years. And there's another thing to that. We're staying
going.
Out. That's right.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Gloria Copeland had always wanted a log cabin. As her dream for a genuine log home grew, the Copelands began to pray and believe to have one on their property in southwest Arkansas. One day while visiting there, they took a drive into town as they had done many times. Suddenly, Gloria said, "Stop the car! I want to go look at that old house." They stepped out to examine a shiplap-covered home they had seen numerous times during their visits. When Brother Copeland lifted up some loose siding, they found axe-hewn logs underneath. It was a log cabin well over 100 years old. The family that owned it sold it to the Copelands for just $500, and Mr. Wooten, the same man who moved the main house onto their property, moved the cabin to be nestled among trees on their land. Then restoration began. They were able to maintain all the original logs and had them re-chinked just as they would have been. There's a dog trot or breezeway that goes straight down the middle. Wide front and back porches are perfect for quiet times of prayer and reading the Word. Gloria and her mother worked to decorate the interior, hand-making pillows, and specially selecting items to create a country cozy feel. They filled the cabin with antique furniture collected over the years, highlighting it throughout with blue and white decor. What was once dark attic space, they lovingly converted into the cheerful bunny room for the grandkids. A place of prayer and family gatherings, the log cabin has been a peaceful retreat for many years.
Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. You remember in the very early days of radio, I didn't want to receive offerings. I was going to believe God. And the Lord said, no, that's wrong. Don't do that. And so the beautiful thing about money is it can be a, you can name the seed because it, you can sow into. And today, in the name of Jesus, you're sowing into your healing. That healing has been manifested. It's a praise offering to His glory. Hallelujah. It hasn't been manifested yet. It's a point of contact. You can't buy your healing. And don't you go off and say, I said that. Don't you dare say I said that. I mean it. But you reap what you sow. That means it's just the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians. Let him that's taught in the word communicate to him that teaches all things. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm sowing today, Father, and I'm sowing in your name. I'm sowing and receiving my healing, and I just rejoice in it. I'm healed, but I'm not healed yet. Yeah, you are. 1 Peter 2:24, you are healed. Now you're receiving it. Yeah. I am healed. Glory to God, and I want to thank you. It's so wonderful to be healed. Oh, it's so wonderful to be out of that old chair. Glory to God, I don't have to. I'm just sitting right in the thing as you're saying that. I don't have to be pushed around by somebody anymore. It's so good to be healed. What are you doing? Calling things that be not as though they were.
You know what, Ken? I saw something right now. Scripture says the sower sows the word.
Yeah.
Well, you sow, you name it.
Oh, yeah.
What are you sowing for?
Absolutely scriptural. Absolutely scriptural. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Father, we pray over this offering.
Thank you.
We release our faith in behalf of our partners and all of those that are sowing into this offering today, that are helping us financially. Reveal unto them what the offering is and their part of this, of the finances of this television broadcast. And we thank you for their healing all week last week, all week this week, continuing on, praise God. And we worship.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Have a great time this weekend. Go to church and just start a riot or revival, one or the other. Amen. We love you. God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year. Text to Give is available in the U.S. only.
We're created in the image and likeness of God. Amen. We have the God-given ability to think like Him, talk like Him, see like Him, hear like Him, and get His results.
The atmosphere is miraculous.
The power of God has been tangible. You just can't stand still being in an atmosphere of faith. All these believers coming together, something like it.
See you at the Southwest Believers Convention, July 30th through August 4th.
Hello, I'm Gloria Copeland. Billy Brim joins me for 2 weeks on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We're learning how to take our authority in Christ Jesus. When we operate in our God-given authority, we can enforce Jesus' victory in our lives. Hallelujah.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts. Visit kcm.org and get an exciting look at listings, meeting schedules, product news, and much more. View KCM meetings live or watch Believer's Voice of Victory webcasts on demand. That's kcm.org.